Today's reading comes from Mark 4, 35 through 41. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although the other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up, high waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him out, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Thank you, Gavin. Didn't he do a great job? Now he's headed off to student ministry. Tonight, we're going to reflect on this passage this week and next week, and we're going to start that tonight. And how we're going to do this is, I'm going to share a few thoughts, and then we're going to have time to pause and pray. And I think, I want to say thank you for coming. A lot of times when you say you're going to have a prayer meeting, it can be a little sparse. And then we wonder why the church is powerless. I really think that a prayerless church is a powerless church. And I think sometimes we fool ourselves into thinking that if we study the same passages over and over again, somehow that's the answer to everything. I'm all about studying the Bible. But there has to be times to pause and pray. And we chose that this month, as we're going into In His Steps, to take a couple of weeks and do that. It's not just filler weeks. It's about us actually praying for ourselves and praying for our church family as we move forward into this ministry year. I believe God's going to do some amazing things. But we want to pray and ask the Lord for specific things, too, along the way. But as we're thinking about this passage here to kind of set the tone of our prayer, one of the things that amazes me about this particular story is that it's predicted or prophesied or pictured in the Old Testament, actually, in Psalm 107. In Psalm 107, we see these words. It says, "Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. And they saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep." Then in verse 27, it starts talking about the storm that comes up, and it says, "They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end." Have you ever been at your wits' end? "They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress." Verse 29 says, "He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. And they were glad that the waters were quiet. And he brought them to their desired haven." Then the text says, "Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man." Sound familiar? I think it's exactly what we see here in Mark 4. It should probably come as no surprise that this famous story of Jesus calming the storm has a famous psalm behind it. It should also be no surprise to us that the God who calmed storms back then still does today. He still does today. And that's where I want to start praying. Because our text opens up with a short-term calling from Jesus to his disciples. Did you see it? What he calls them to do in this moment is for this moment. It wasn't forever, but his calling was clear, and his calling was clearly heard. When Jesus spoke, his disciples actually understood what he was saying. That's a need today. That's a need in the church today. His calling was, let's go to the other side of the lake. Let's take a short journey. In many ways, that's what this ministry year is. It's not forever and always. A year is somewhat of a short journey. The older you get, the quicker they move by, right? But I want us to pray. I want us to pray that we in this room, that our church family would be attentive, to Jesus's calling on each of our lives in this moment. What is it that God is calling us to do? What lake is it that he's calling us to cross this year? What is that? Let's pray for, I'll call it a holy awareness, the ability to hear the Lord speak. And as we go through these times of prayer, I'm just going to invite you to pray, and we're all going to pray. You can pray as loudly or silently as you want. Might want to check with your neighbor if you pray really loud. But I'm just going to invite us to pray, and then I'll close us out in that prayer. But as you're praying, don't just pray for you. Don't just pray for your family. Pray for the church as a whole, that God would move among us. So the first thing I want us to pray for is that we, like the disciples in this story, we would have a holy awareness of what Jesus is calling us to do in this moment. Amen? Let's pray. Yes, Lord, would you make us aware of what you're calling each of us to do? Would you make us aware as a church, as a body? Of the calling that you've placed on us for now. Lord, I pray you would help us not try to figure out all the answers for the rest of life, but may we hear your voice now. Lord, we know you love to speak clearly. Would you give us ears to hear the word that you have for us now? In Jesus' name. Amen. Notice in this text that they're not only aware of Jesus' calling and his instructions. But notice that in this moment, they obeyed. They heard him, and then they obeyed. They actually got in the boat. If listening to Jesus was their first act of faith, then obeying Jesus in the moment was their second act of faith. At this point in the story, it seems that the disciples, they have enough faith in Jesus to obey. And that language matters, especially for next week. But at this point, they have enough faith in Jesus to obey and actually get in the boat. So let's pray that we as a church would have an increase of faith in Jesus. So much so that it would lead us to believing obedience. It's a great way to define faith. It is belief, but it's obedience to that belief. And so while we pray that we hear Jesus clearly, while that may be the first step, the second one is the courage to actually get in the boat, to actually obey what we hear. So let's pray for a radical obedience. Let's pray for a radical obedience in our hearts. Let's pray for a radical obedience. You may want to pray for your small group, your Sunday school class. Let's pray for a radical obedience in our church. Let's pray. Yes, Lord. Yes. Father, would you help us have a desire not just to hear your voice, but to obey your voice? Lord, from the choir loft to the balcony and everywhere in between. Lord, for every small group, for every Sunday school class, for every prayer group, Lord, may there be an intense desire to get in the boat when you say get in the boat. And Lord, your love casts out all fear. Sometimes we wonder where the boat's going. How long is it going to take to get there? What are we going to encounter along the way? But Lord, I pray for a radical obedience. Radical obedience. And Father, may radical obedience to the voice of your Son become the norm. In Jesus' name. The text goes on to tell us that in order for them to follow Jesus, they actually have to leave some things behind. And what they have to leave behind is not just things, but actually people. The text tells us that they have to leave the crowds behind. This means that Jesus is calling to his disciples, at least for this moment, for this period of time, was to leave one group of people behind so that they could be a part of another group of people and witness a miracle. And sometimes in life, it's really not good to follow the crowd. The text tells us that some of the crowd jumped in boats and tried to follow them. But Jesus' call was for them to leave the crowd behind, at least for a short time. So let's pray. Let's pray that we would have wisdom to leave behind for a time what needs to be left behind. Let's pray that we would have wisdom to leave behind whatever it is needed so that we can faithfully answer Jesus' call in the moment. In other words, whatever needs to be left on the shore, may we release it and let go so that we can be obedient to Him. Let's pray for that. Father, we're well aware that you called us to travel a little lighter than what we would like to. Lord, I pray for us as a church, individual, corporately, and whatever we need to leave on the shore to be obedient to you, would you help us do so? And Lord, I pray for those who struggle with that. I'm one of them. Lord, I pray that we would learn to honor the past without living in it. Lord, I pray that we would learn to have hope for the future without fearing it. Lord, sometimes there's emotions we need to lay down, thoughts and ideas, even desires and wants. Lord, whatever it is, we lay it down. Lord, would you help us lay down those things that hinder our obedience and not look back, not pick them up again, that we may walk freely into the future you have, that we may walk freely into this year. With a simple yet heartfelt desire that you would receive honor and glory through who we are and what we do. So Lord, whatever we need to lay down and walk away from, to be found faithful in your eyes, would you let us know? In Jesus' name. You know, many times Satan's goal is not to get us to not believe in God. Did that make sense? Many times his goal is not to get us to not believe in God. Many times Satan's goal is just to get us distracted and preoccupied. I think he wants us to be distracted with actual storms in life, things that are actually going on. I think he wants us to be distracted with potential storms in life. And I really don't think that Satan cares if there's a thing called a church, as long as it's stunned or stagnant. As long as the church is focused on the storm rather than the one who calms the storm. Because if Satan can keep us paralyzed, not moving, not engaging God, not engaging a broken world, then he's accomplished his mission. And so I want us to pray for our church that we would not be distracted. The one thing I know about life is that storms are a guarantee. They do come. They come to individuals, they come to families, they come to groups of people, they come to whole congregations, they come to whole cities and nations. They come. 5 years ago, we experienced a storm that impacted the whole world. Storms come. They look different. We experience them differently, but they do come. But let's pray that we will not be distracted this year by the storms. May we not take our eyes off Jesus to focus on the storms. There's another famous story about that, if you'll remember, with Peter getting out of the boat, but as soon as his eyes got on the waves and not Jesus, he sank. And that's what happens every time. A surefire way for a church to sink is to lose sight of Jesus. So let's pray as we go into this year, while we acknowledge storms are going to happen. At the same time, let's pray that they would not throw us off course and off our mission. Let's pray for that. Father, like the disciples so long ago, when they all of a sudden looked up and saw the clouds forming and moving in their direction, we know the same still happens today. But Lord, we also know that we can trust you in the storm. We can trust you when storms hit. And Lord, may we, like the disciples on this day we're reading about, learn to trust you. May we learn the skill of not being distracted, of not allowing Satan to throw us off the mission you've given us. Lord, many times we would like the storm to go away a little quicker. sometimes the storms seem to settle in. Lord, I pray you'd give us peace in those moments, that we would know that at some point we will hear the words, "Be still." In Jesus' name. Amen. The text tells us that the storm came, but the story gives us some details. This was not just any storm. The text says it was a fierce storm. These were not just waves. They were high waves. The waves were coming into the boat, but not just coming into the boat. The waves were actually filling the boat. We get a lot of detail here. And I don't know if you know this, but it is a fact of life that water is supposed to be outside the boat, not in it. The disciples, again, had enough faith in Jesus to get into the boat, but now their faith is being tested again. Sometimes, even though we have enough faith to get into the boat that Jesus is calling us to get into, sometimes there comes times when we're faced with the question of, do we have enough faith to stay in? We start wrestling with questions like, when is it time to jump ship or pontoon boat or whatever it may be? Some people right now, sitting in this room in our church, they feel the pressure of what ankle-deep water feels like. Some people feel the pressure of what waist-deep water feels like. Some people feel as if the boat may be too far gone or they're in over their head in life right now. And I don't know where you are today. I don't know where everybody in the congregation is today. I don't know what pressures you're feeling. I don't know if panic is settling in like it was with the disciples here. I do know that some people, they look at their clock and their calendar and they see a time storm raging, and they don't feel like they have enough. I know that there are some who don't feel like they have enough time to serve or show up and worship with the spiritual family. I know some people are looking at the economy and they're seeing a deficit storm raging. They're wondering if they're going to be able to give anything to anybody. Some people are seeing storms at work and on the home front, and they find themselves looking up on Saturday, thinking about church on Sunday, and wondering if they prayed at all this week. Some people can barely find enough time to read the Bible because they feel like they're spending all their time reading over their child's homework. But I want us to pray. We're going to go back to the storm, but I want to pray specifically for something. And then we're going to do communion. I want us to pray that while we've all been through storms, we know what they feel like, and we know storms will come in the future, let's pray that we will not be intimidated by the storms. Pray that we will not panic in the storms. Pray that we'll stay faithful through the storms. But no intimidation. You see, when God is your God, your mindset becomes, what can man do to me? What can Satan do to me? What can the economy do to me? What can a little busyness do to me? When God is your God, you get to walk through life not intimidated. But you walk with a calm, non-anxious presence, knowing who sits on the throne. Let's pray for that, and then it's going to lead us into communion. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that there's no being in the universe that has the power to intimidate one of your children. Lord, I pray that each day we would walk through that day with our heads held high, not pridefully, but knowing that we are a son or daughter of you. And Lord, we know what this world likes to throw at us. But I thank you that there is no fear in the kingdom. So Lord, as we prayed just a moment ago, that things would be on earth as in heaven, let it be so. And let it be so in me. Let it be so in us. Let it be so in this church. Let it be so in such a way that as the world panics, we know we don't have to, because we trust you. We trust you. And we trust you because of the sacrifice that was given. The beautiful cosmic display of love that the world cannot deny. We trust you because of outstretched arms on a cross. We trust you because of nail-pierced hands and feet. We trust you because you took our crown of thorns and gave us a crown of glory. We trust you because you took our place and gave us a pardon that no one can take from us. And so, Lord, as we have prayed about many things tonight as your people, we thank you for the blood that was shed, the body that was broken for us and our redemption. Lord, I pray your blessings over this simple bread, this simple juice. Lord, I ask that they would be for us the body and blood of your Son, that we may be his body in this world, redeemed by his blood, that others may know. So Lord, as we receive Holy Communion tonight, may we receive your grace once again. And whatever the need is in our life, would you meet us in this moment? We pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Those who are going to be serving communion, would you please go ahead and make your way up, receive the elements. We're going to ask you to come down the center aisle, as we do on Wednesday, and receive communion by intinction. If you would, just place your hands out just like this, and they'll take the bread and the juice and place it in your hand, and we will send somebody to the balcony as well. If you don't mind, please stand. As communion gets started in just a moment, we'll go into a song.